Today I'm interviewing Sean Sawyer, president of the Olana Partnership. Thank you very much for arranging this interview, Sean.
Rob, it's a pleasure. Look forward to speaking with you.
Why don't we talk about the Olana Partnership?
Sure. The Olana Partnership is a nonprofit organization, a charitable organization, and we have existed under slightly different names for the entire time that Olana has been a public site open to the public. So many people in the area might remember Friends of Olana was a name that we had for many, many years. My predecessor, Sarah Griffin, really transformed the organization from an organization that was very much a volunteer-based organization to one with professional staff, and she was one of the first staff members. And we've grown and grown and grown, and we now operate all of the public programming at Olana. The interesting thing about Olana's 20th century history was, you know, when Olana was saved, it really was both private citizens and individuals participating in that effort and the state of New York. And the two of them working together became the crucial thing to ensuring that Olana, as a historic site with amazing collections, could be saved for everyone's enjoyment. And so in the same way today, that we continue that public-private partnership, and it's evolved through time, and we are now operating in what we call a cooperative agreement with New York State Parks. So the Olana Partnership has a legal agreement with the state that says that we have a responsibility to provide all of the public programming, the visitor services work here at the site. The state has its responsibilities at the site, which include security and basic maintenance of the site. And then we cooperate together on a lot of things. So for instance, when there's a new roof that has to happen on an old building, we will help raise some private money and also apply for public grants and other grants. And the state will also seek to get its own funds to contribute towards that effort. And then we even manage the construction together. We're in all the meetings together. So it's a really productive, great example of how the state and its agencies can work with private citizens who have a strong interest in a place.
Could you maybe tell us, are there new initiatives, things that are starting now this summer?
Yes, there's always new stuff happening. That's something we feel is really important. You know, everybody, we really want people in the local area in particular who can get here easily to have a reason to come back year after year. So for instance, every year now we organize a special exhibition, and that's something that we hope people want to come and see and will come to the site for that reason if you're more local. It helps us to draw people from further away too. So for instance, this summer we have a special exhibition called In Frederick Church's Ombra, Architecture in Conversation with Nature. And it's a smaller exhibition than some of ours in the past, but it's really focused, and it's a celebration of the 150th anniversary of Frederick Church coming back from his great trip to Greece and the Eastern Mediterranean and Syria, launching into designing his house on top of the hill here. And as part of that, he made these indoor-outdoor spaces really fundamental to what he wanted in a house. And you can imagine the views we have here. That makes sense. You want to have a beautiful place to sit outside and have a cool drink or read, or in his case, paint and sketch and look at the spectacular views. So he created a whole series of porches and indoor-outdoor rooms. And the Ombra, which is in the title of the exhibition, is really the central piece one. And ombra means shadow or shade in both Spanish and Italian. It kind of comes from that idea. And so we have six architects who are pretty well-known architects who today have responded to this idea of creating indoor-outdoor spaces, and also just really responding to what Olana stimulates in their imagination as designers. And so it is a first exhibition that we're doing that is around the design of the main house. We're working on a bigger exhibition that will really be about the history of designing the house and the amazing drawings that have rarely been seen that Frederick Church did himself of the house as it was being designed. And he was so involved in every detail, and he was even his own general contractor. He hired the masons, the woodworkers, the decorative painters, and he supervised them here on the site. So it's a fascinating thing to see this artist house get designed and built.
Like Can that. You maybe describe the house in words, since we are a radio? We can't visually see the beauty, but maybe you could add words to it if one was to go up there and we first.
Wow, that's a great challenge. It is a first and foremost, Church chose to build his house focused around a site and the views. And the views are just fantastic, right? You can see from the house right down the Hudson Valley in a clear day. You can just see the Hudson Highlands, you know, so 70 miles or so in the distance. And then you see the fantastic Great Northern Catskills much more vividly, that beautiful line of mountains that we all love to look at in this region with the sun setting behind them. And, you know, that is right there front and center along with the Hudson River. So that's the real million-dollar view at Olana, and that Church designed the house around. And the whole front of the house faces directly into that view. So when you're in the house, every single room has large windows that look out and frame these views of this spectacular landscape. So that first and foremost is what the house is about. Then the architecture of it's exotic and was inspired by Church's travels, particularly when he and his wife spent about 6 months really traveling through the Holy Land. So what is today the state of Israel, Lebanon, the Palestinian territories, Syria, Jordan, and parts of Turkey and Greece. So for them, that was a really important spiritual journey they made. But for Church, too, it was a really important artistic journey. And he knew he was going to build a house when he got back here. So he incorporated into the house all sorts of these details from Middle Eastern architecture, like the pointed arch, very elaborate pattern work, abstracted flower shapes and forms are all throughout the house. Isabel loved all the color of the building she saw over there. So they have just a great variety of really rich colors in the interior. Some people find it a little dark today, but the colors were colors that had a lot of meaning for the churches. Pattern, color, great views, a bell tower that rises way up, three stories, and this brick and stone house. So, and the brick and stone are local materials right here, brick right here from Hudson, the old Empire Brickworks.
What's beautiful is when you come up to the house, to the door where visitors go in, at afternoon there's shadows. I took a photo which had the shadow falls. You've probably seen it many times. The shadow falls at a certain angle by that entrance. Mm. And especially in midday or later, you'll see that. And then to the left side, you have these beautiful garden flower beds.
Yes, all of that is very true, Rob. I mean, the way the light works with the house and its architecture was really important to Church. He was a painter of light in a lot of ways, and he was fascinated by the science of optics and light. And so it makes sense that those are effects that, you know, he created, maybe somewhat, sometimes accidentally almost, but the architecture really does relate to the movement of the sun and the seasons. And that was certainly something that he wrote about and people who visited wrote about how wonderful that was. I would also say, add to the shadow, at sunset in the summer, you get on a clear day like we had recently, we've had a couple of them, you get this beautiful pink that gets in the sky. And it really brings the house into such the outside shape of the house, the brick and the stone, just absorb that pink and they become even more beautiful. So if people, are local and they, the park is open, From dawn to dusk, every day of the year, free. There's no charge to come into Olana State Historic Site Park, the parkland. So encourage people to come and walk around and see that those sunsets and experience it. There's lots of place to do that. And I'm sorry, you were also mentioning the light and the other...
Well, I mentioned the garden.
The garden, yes, the flower garden, the Mingle Flower Garden. So Olana's landscape was all designed by Frederick Church. And again, he supervised all the work crews, mostly local people working in to create the landscape here. It's 250 acres. Flowers were not, planted flowers in a flower bed are only in one section. And it was really important, but it's almost hidden from view. So you have to, it's a little bit of a challenge sometimes to find it. We're getting some new signage that will help people, that will be discreet and nice, but get people to the flower garden more. But Church and Frederick and Isabel enjoyed that flower garden, walking through it. It follows the ramp that goes up to the main door of the front house. It's tucked below it, and it takes advantage of the stone wall of the ramp to start the spring season a little earlier than most and to keep on the nice warm heat of that wall in the autumn a little longer. So we have this long season of flowers there. It's a project of the Olana Partnership. We raise funds from private individuals to support that garden. Right now the garden is supported by a wonderful couple in the area, Glenn and Sarah Butash, who live in Ankrum. Please come and enjoy the flower garden.
And also, in his lifetime, it was a working farm down below the great house where we are at the cozy cottage, and then there's a barn and center. That was, seemed a working farm.
Very much so.
And yeah. That, we don't see it, but I guess there were fields of cows and...
We have plans to bring it back gradually,
really?
As we can afford to do it.
We have
a lot of it funded for the restoration of the barns now, which is great news. Yes, the farm was essential to Church. He loved the farm part of it. And in fact, they started out here for the first 7 years. He didn't own the top of the hill where the great house is. That was a woodlot for the farm next door, one of the Hallenbeck farms. And so he bought this farm the month before he got married to Isabel to create a home, basically. He decided to come back up here where he had been a student as an 18 and 19-year-old with Thomas Cole. And he knew this wonderful hilltop with its amazing views. We have sketches that he did when he was with Thomas Cole from the hills here. And he found this 126-acre farm. It was the Winston Breezy Farm and had an old Dutch farmhouse on it and a barn and fields, 126 acres. And he just embraced the farm lifestyle. He had made it quite success as an artist. So he decided that he would have a tenant who would be the real farmer and do the hard work of farm labor, and that he and his wife would build a new farmhouse, a cottage. That's what we're in today, as you said, called Cozy Cottage. And it would be the home and the place they would start their family. And they had their first two children here, Emma and Herbert. And they lived here actually until for the first 12 years they owned the property here, they lived in this house. And in 1872, they moved into the house at the top of the hill. So it's a really important part of the landscape here, and we've been working for years to restore the different buildings of the farm. So Cozy Cottage was restored 2006, and we're actually celebrating that project this year at our annual gala, which is our big fundraiser in New York City, by celebrating the Johnson family who helped support the restoration of this building, Cozy Cottage, and also the reconstruction of one of Church's old wagon houses as a school facility for our school program. And so those two things happened now about over 10 years ago. And now we're in the next phase where we're going to restore the big main barn, and we're going to restore the first piece of farm land, which will be about an acre of a kitchen garden that will become part of our school program use.
I was mentioned to me that there's some new tours added.
Yes, this year with the new relationship we have with State Parks, we have been able to really create a lot of different tours. So we feel that people wanted to have different ways in which to experience the landscape in the main house at Olana. So we have created 30-minute tours for those people who have a little less time or want to sort of dip their toes in. We have 60-minute tours that are based on some themes that we feel are really important. The Hudson River School is one of them. The architecture and design of the house is another one of them. There's a theme tour that's about the church's travels and their family life at Olana. And we're looking that those will probably change as we get feedback from our visitors, which is really important to us. But for now, there's those three themes. There's 30-minute tours, and there are also 30-minute tours in the landscape and 60-minute tours in the landscape. And our most popular new thing is an hour-long tour in an electric vehicle. We call it an electric carriage that goes out on the carriage roads here. There are 5 miles of carriage roads, and it takes you to all of the scenic viewpoints that Church created in making his landscape here. And he literally took farmland and he planted thousands and thousands of trees that shape the views. So it's something that some local people have certainly known about these places in the landscape here, but others may not have been here for 10 years or so and seen some of these restored pieces of the landscape that we've done. So the carriage tour is really, really popular. Highly recommend it.
Sean, could you tell me a little bit about your background? I mean, you're president of the Olana Partnership and...
Sure. Yeah. Before this, I was the head of a foundation based in New York City that worked with the National Trust in the United Kingdom. So I'm from Vermont originally, just north of here. I went to school and got my PhD at Columbia, and I ended up doing nonprofit work, but in the area of my academic training, which is architecture, design, landscape history, art history. I taught art history for a while at Columbia, taught at Harvard a little while as I was trying to sort of figure out a path forward after school, and decided I really love working with the public at historic sites. And when you love that, you end up meeting a lot of people who are interested in supporting these sites. So I got involved in being basically an executive director, that is, you know, running the site and overseeing staff, but also really doing the fundraising. So that's a big part of my job here at Olana, is I work with our board and with our whole team here to raise the funds that keep Olana moving forward and restoring all these pieces of the property and, you know, realizing a vision for the future for the site. But yeah, my prior job, I did a lot of work in England and Wales and Northern Ireland, and that was a really wonderful experience. I really enjoyed it. And in some aspects, I you know, still keep all those contacts up, and I love traveling myself. Not quite as adventuresome as Frederick Church was, but maybe as I get older, I will be. I hope so. I hope to see South America, and which he loved, and I've never been to South America. So
we really covered a lot. You explained a lot. Your connections got you this position through your previous...
Well, position was hired through a search. So Sarah Griffin was here for 25 years as the executive director, president, as what our title is. And she really transformed the organization, as I mentioned before. But she, you know, had contributed so much to the site and to the local area and region. And so they're, as I like to say, they're really big, small shoes, petite shoes, elegant shoes to fit into. And, you know, I'm a different person, and but the opportunity, I'd seen this job that she was retiring, and I was very, very happy to be approached by the search firm that the board of directors had obtained to do the search. And I was the fortunate one who came through it and have the luck to be here at Olana and to live in this area, which I absolutely love. So it's very great job.
You came here what?
2015. I started in May of 2015. You know, I'm from Northern Vermont, so up what they call the Northeast Kingdom. St. Johnsbury is the big town. It's where I went to high school. And I like the fact that I'm just a little bit closer to my family that still lives up there. It's still a little far away. But and we don't get as much snow, or at least haven't the last 3 years, that I was hoping we would get compared to what I grew up with, because I'm a big skier and I love that.
Mr. Sawyer, I really am happy that I could interview you today. There's a lot that I've learned, and a lot that my audience will learn too about Alana and the partnership. And again, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to meet with you today.
Rob, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. It's been fun.